This is Richard Epcar, voice of Bato and Ghost in the Shell, and you're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. You are listening to Nutty Bites, and today I've got a special Nutty Bites for you. We're going to be discussing the best and the worst of holiday movies. With me today, I have my regular co-host.
Hi, I'm Tech.
And I've got a couple of Marks as guests here. First, we have from Epic, Mark Cabot.
Hello.
And from The Weird Show and CHSR, we've got Mark Hilfla.
Hey, how's it going? It's like Mark's Nuts here. That doesn't sound right. Instead of Mixed Nuts?
Mark's Nuts?
That didn't come out as well as I thought it was.
Mark. There we go. Tech, you're going to have to change your name to Mark just to fit in.
I've heard of worse reasons to change a name. Okay, I can do that.
So let's start with the best. What are some of the best holiday movies that you guys can think of? The movies that really, let's start with the ones that get you in the mood and get you in the spirit to celebrate the holidays.
Miracle on, what was it?
34th Street.
34th Street, yeah. I always mess up the number on that one.
This is one trivia contest I know.
That's kind of an old classic from my childhood that I remember watching several times.
So the original or the Mara Wilson reboot?
No, I've never seen the original. I've only seen the reboot.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. The Mara Wilson reboot was what, circa? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the one.
You're talking about now the classic black and white one?
Yeah.
I haven't seen
the classic black and white. He's talking about the reboot. I'm talking about the classic one.
Now, see, the other thing is that they colorized the classic one, too, and that's an abomination.
Yeah, it was like a Technicolor kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
My favorite thing about that movie is when Tech likes to run down 34th Street in New York City screaming that it's a miracle.
The greatest thing about visiting Manhattan is when you find yourself on actual 34th Street. It's a miracle, people! You do get some funny looks, but it's one of those things you get to check off the bucket list.
So I got to ask, Mark, why is that one of you that came right away your first one on top of your list?
Because that's the one that I used to watch with my parents when I was younger. And you know, now thinking back at it, it was probably the colorized version of the original that we used to watch. I never seen it in black and white, but I remember seeing it, and I'm pretty sure it would have been before the Mara Wilson reboot. So I'm pretty sure it would have been the original colorized version.
I never saw it. It never clicked with me. I've tried to watch it. I don't get it. It does not appeal to me. The one that I remember as the Christmas classic that I grew up watching was that story of Rudolph, but all done claymation.
It was like stop animation.
Rankin and Bass.
Yeah, with the jazzy snowman and the abominable Yeti and all the rest. And yeah.
That one also came to mind for me, but I didn't mention it because I couldn't remember the name.
I think it's just Rudolph.
It's called Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's one of the Rankin and Bass specials. They did about five or six of those in total, but most people only know about three or four. I don't think I could name all six.
Well, is that the same people that did the Misfit toys?
Yes.
That's what I thought. I'm trying to think. There's another one, and I'm seeing the guy, and he's got red hair.
Heat Miser.
Yeah.
That is the year without Santa Claus. I did some research, so it's not like I know all the stuff on the top of my head. Yeah, that's another classic Rankin and Bass one with Heat Miser and Mr. Cold. Or no, what was it called? There was another one anyway, and the Rankin and Bass ones, like my top one that I'm going to put on the top here, it's a lot about the music, and I'm going to put the Charlie Brown Christmas there because the Guaraldi music in that was spectacular. I will listen to that all year long, and in fact, when I realized that it wasn't just special made for that Vince Guaraldi actually does that kind of music otherwise, I went and searched up more of his music. And just sort of fell in love with everything that he's done. So definitely an animated classic for me. And I will be digging it out here soon. I actually found my copy of it to make sure I had it on hand.
I think I was going to mention the Peanuts special, Frosty the Snowman. Like, those were all played on TV, network television, every year right around the same time. So I definitely think that those are a good staple for our generation at the very least.
There's also another one that I remember going to see it with my parents in the theater, and I haven't really seen it since. I don't think I've ever seen it on VHS or video or whatever, but that's the Home Alone movie.
Merry Christmas, filthy animal. And a Happy New Year.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is certainly a Christmas movie. It came out around Christmas time, and it kind of was Christmas-centric, but it didn't really have a whole lot of Christmas theme into it. An interesting thing about that is recently I saw on YouTube or somewhere else, somebody did a research piece where they consulted with some medical experts, watched the movie again, and had these doctors and nurses talk about all the various traumas that these guys would have gone through and what the actual ramifications would have been. For instance, a hot iron hitting you in the face from two stories. And these guys would have, they would have been hurting for sure. I think a lot of those things would have actually killed them.
I saw a while ago of it comes out every year just before Christmas that somebody takes the classic Christmas carol, the 12 days of Christmas, and they count up how much all of the 12 pipers piping and the lords a leaping, how much that would cost, and then they tally it over last year's, and you get to track Christmas inflation. Somebody was doing that for a while with Home Alone, where they had medical experts tally up the hospital bill.
Oh boy!
How much it would cost you to recover from the irons to the head and the spider bites and the slip and falls, and then they were tracking that for a couple of years. It's like, well, this year it's so much more expensive to get murdered by a 9-year-old.
See, this kind of brings up a question, though. Like when you said, you want to talk about Christmas movies. One of my first thoughts was, well, what makes a Christmas movie? Because the one that comes to everybody's mind, which I don't think is a Christmas movie, is Die Hard. And yes, its timing is set to Christmas time, but I think that I would probably say that if a movie can be watched at any other time of the year and it still makes perfect sense, that the, you know, just the happenstance of Christmas being in it doesn't really make it a Christmas movie. Ghostbusters would be a Christmas movie under that.
In the Die Hard example, and I have to give a quick rebuttal here, in the Die Hard example, that, and it may be more American-centric, but that is a phenomenon that showed up due to cable channels, and Die Hard would be played around Christmas nonstop, and just for the fact that it had Christmas in it. And the only time they ever seemed to play Die Hard on the cable channels was around Christmas. So it's become a Christmas movie, having to do with the fact that someone, Turner somewhere, said, oh, hey, it's Christmas.
But
let's play a movie that has Christmas in it.
But
through the channels, you see Miracle on 34th Street. I don't want to watch that again. Hey, Die Hard's on. Might as well watch Die Hard for the 94th time.
But that's the Mr. Falcon version, right? This is the one that's totally language is all watered down to ridiculous levels, right?
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
It has to be, of course.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it makes
Yippee-ki-yay,
it.
Yippee-ki-yay, Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Falcon, yes.
It is also it's Mr. Falcon. It's also one of the movies that inspired my swearing bleeps for this podcast.
Potato.
Really random things in the place of swears when people slip up. I don't think that Die Hard is the type that gets me in the mood for Christmas. The original cartoon Grinch, I would say, is definitely there, but growing up, it was those that were shown on TV that we've already discussed. But now, there is one movie that actually gets me in the mood for Christmas. Most of my favorite Christmas movies are like anti-Christmas movies. There is one that gets me in the mood. It is my favorite Christmas movie of all time, and it is Elf. It is fantastic because it can be shared by young, it can be shared by old, it can be viewed by anyone. And it's just got so much joy and love in it.
Buddy the Elf, what's your favorite color?
That is how my baby sister and I answer the phone during December, thanks to that movie.
Of the latest generation of the Christmas movies that have come out, I have to say that it's probably the only one to strike a lasting chord. Maybe that and The Nightmare Before Christmas. Maybe the other one that I'd pick that has... seems to have some staying power to it. Nobody is going to go watch, The Santa Claus again, or all these other hokey Christmas movies. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's Will Ferrell's classic comedy. It's him being a dork for an hour and a half. But I like it. It's funny. It works.
It was good to watch once. And I'm glad I watched it once. And I'm never going to watch it twice.
Really? I watch it all the time.
I find that Will Ferrell is great the first time for a little while. If I have to sit there for 2 hours with Will Ferrell, I'm going to probably gouge my eyes out because he's just, it's unceasingly dumb. And I mean, it's unfair in a way, but at the same time, that's just, I react to him almost all the time. If he's a single character in a larger movie, then I'm okay. If he's on a SNL skit, okay. Whole movie, yeah, that was a little harsh.
I can see that for other movies. This is my exception.
See, the modern movie I'll go to, which is now a classic that I will watch, although I haven't, it's not the one that gets me in the mood, but it's definitely a movie I like around Christmas time, and that's Rare Exports. This is the better version, you might say, of the Santa Claus tale, or arguably almost a Krampus tale. It was one, and I have unfortunately don't have the summary in front of me, or I'd try to give it more exactly. But
I gotcha.
It's a Scandinavian country which has been successfully tracking the wild Santa beast across its entire landscape. And is now taming it and is setting it loose for Christmas. So it is quite a hilariously odd, weird, wonderful, horrible movie. Did a whole horror Christmas 1 year, and that was definitely on the list.
I've never seen it. I have never heard of it. But apparently, it's got an 88% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Wow. And a 3.5 out of 4 by Roger Ebert. So.
I would recommend
6.7
it.
Out of 10 for IMDb, but I've never even heard of this one. So there you go.
I want to go back just for a sec. We were talking earlier about what makes a Christmas movie, and I was kind of thinking about that. It's really subjective when you think about it. I mean, there could be a lot of – it really comes down to traditions in your local circles kind of thing, what you've been watching with your parents. And it doesn't even have to be a movie, you know, with Christmas at the forefront of anything. I can't think of any examples right now. It kind of escapes me of something that wouldn't be. I mean, we kind of been programmed growing up. We're from the generation where we had cable, right? We didn't have Netflix. We didn't have movies on demand. We didn't have instant anything. And it was just whatever the networks crammed down our throats as a Christmas movie. So it was whatever was on the channels at the time, or whatever they were putting out at the local movie bar or the VHS rental place or whatever like that. So we're mentioning these Christmas movies, but it really can be anything you really want it to be. So for me, like Die Hard, for instance, we mentioned that a while ago, and you know, it's a shoot 'em up, or I don't know what you call it, a shoot 'em up kind of movie. Yeah, it's an action movie, and I mean, really, that happens to take place on Christmas, and that's pretty much the extent of it. There's no real Christmas themes involved. I think they might have thrown one here and there, but that's about it. But, you know, people watch it around Christmas, so that kind of makes it a Christmas movie in that way. But I think if you were to look at it in today's standards, where you can watch a movie anytime you want, and it's not necessarily what's on TV, that probably wouldn't be a Christmas movie if it was released recently. It wouldn't be considered a Christmas movie the way it is now, because like, again, they used to just jam it down our throats right around Christmas time. So I kind of just associate it based on my past on Christmas, because that's typically when I watched it, because it was on TV over and over and over again. But I wouldn't go out and, you know, watch it any other time, because I've seen it 100 times at Christmas.
So one that we haven't mentioned yet that I'm kind of surprised of, that's sort of the quintessential Christmas media, because it's been a book, it's been a play, it's been radio, it's been movies, is, you know, A Christmas Carol.
Yes.
We've all seen many, many versions of it, some very good, some very, very bad. The one that I think right now is still my favorite, I think only because it's so rare and I it's hard to find, is the Muppet version that they did a few years ago with Patrick Stewart as Ebenezer Scrooge.
I'm surprised it's hard to find.
Well, it's just it's very rarely on TV. Finding a YouTube version of any decent quality, I've always found tricky. I never see it on the DVD shelf at a store. I'm sure if I scoured the internet for any for any period of time, I'd find a copy of it. It's just it's not one of the ones that immediately jumps out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Scrooge is on my list. Well, A Christmas Carol, properly.
That is one of my anti Christmas movies that I love. Yes, Scrooge. Yes.
Oh, Scrooge. I fantastic. Yeah.
You were talking about something else.
I was talking about
the Bill Murray version back in the 90s, or
That's on my list too. I was actually just mentioning A Christmas Carol, and I called it Scrooge by accident.
Okay.
Scrooge, A Christmas Carol, the original version. I actually have three listed on my list. One I actually own. The other two I'd like to. The best, the black and white Alistair Sim classic movie. Watch that every year. That's my go-to to get me in the mood. The George C. Scott version. I'd love to find a copy of that because that was tremendous. He is an incredible actor, and he just brings that sort of rage and outrage at the whole holiday in the beginning and then the miraculous transformation. And the Henry Winkler version is out there, which is a very different take on it because...
Bonds are screwed.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But of course, it's Henry Winkler. So it's a much more quieter version, if you will. But those three of those versions on my list. And of course, I will mention Scrooged. Oh, yes, absolutely. There's one that everything hits it for me, a Christmas movie. It's all about the season. It makes sense about the season. It's a bit funny. There's the kind of transformation story as well. And Bill Murray. Oh, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah.
There was a recent, I think it was a Robert Zemeckis CG remake of A Christmas Carol.
Is that the one that
2010?
Has...
It was with, I forget his name all of a sudden because I'm bad with names.
The Mask?
Yeah, the guy from The Mask there.
Jim Carrey?
Jim Carrey.
No.
It was, I remember going to see it in theaters, and I was thoroughly disappointed in it, not with Jim Carrey's acting, which I was actually a little impressed with because he was kind of pigeonholed and he was doing a pretty good job of it, but it was with the uncanny valley that they found themselves in with that animation. Really made it, I don't know, kind of, if it was a horror movie, it would have worked quite well.
It's like that that Tom Hanks Christmas Express or whatever it is, the train movie?
Polar Express,
yes.
Yeah, where everybody looks dead. It's really wrong.
I think they did that one back when they were getting the facial features really well, but they weren't doing the multiple translucent layers yet, so the skin was very plasticky. It looked like everybody was pasty white. And
there's also something in the eyes.
They were trying to match the children's book because there's a very specific art style that the Polar Express children's book has. And they were trying to copy it, and it just looked creepy.
I got to look that up now.
So one thing that this actually reminds me of is I named this Holiday Movies because I didn't want to focus on just the whole Christian Christmas thing and really wanted to be inclusive. And then I tried finding good movies that aren't about Christmas but are about Hanukkah or, you know, Kwanzaa or other winter things, solstice, anything. There's nothing. Like, really... Well, Go watch Eight Crazy Nights. And
I was about to mention that one.
Adam Sandler.
There are a couple Futurama episodes that deal with the holidays. So they have the futuristic version of all three holidays, and they do it through music and song, and they explain the difference between Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, and Christmas done through robots. And it's the Santa bot whose naughty and nice circuits are set too steep, so he thinks everyone is naughty. So he walks around with rocket launchers, killing everyone. There's Kwanzaabot that raps about everything, and the Hanukkah zombie.
Yes, well, of course.
Of course, the Hanukkah zombie. And it is incredibly well done, very funny, only 22 minutes long, but about as close as all-inclusive as you're going to get me, thanks.
And I will say that any of the Christmas or holiday-related Futurama episodes are definitely worth watching. I've enjoyed them very much. But, all I could think of was, you know, in Buffy, Willow says, hello, Jewish, not everybody worships Santa. And then even then they don't do anything, you know? I mean, there's such a lack out there. And so if anyone is watching this now or later or listening to it now or later, let me know. Do you have a non-Christmas movie you want to talk about? Honestly, I'm not going to watch Eight Crazy Nights.
But on that note, Maddie, isn't the stereotype of the Christmas tradition for Jewish families to go eat Chinese food and go watch a movie?
Yeah. Well, because nothing else is open. Christmas Day is a big day, opening day for movies. And often there's a lot of really good movies that are opening on Christmas because they want to get the movie out so that they can be included in the Oscars for that year. And that's why you would release in late December is if you wanted to be part of the Oscar contention. But yeah, no, that is a great stereotype and activity and so forth. I do think there's a lot of movies that do Christmas without being Christian, which is helpful because I think there's a lot of people that they don't really necessarily, they do Christmas, but it's not really about the Jesus thing. And for many people, it's very much about the Jesus thing. But I know a lot of atheists, a lot of agnostics, they're like, I don't believe in God, but, you know, I want presents.
None of the Christmas movies we've mentioned have had anything to do with the Jesus thing. They've all had to do with the
Charlie Brown.
Well, yeah, but it's all about Santa and the presents.
Yes, exactly. And so I wanted to mention some of the ones that do it really well. Mm. Nightmare Before Christmas, I'm going to touch on that again. I think that Nightmare Before Christmas is such a great movie, and I love the music. I love the story. I love that I can watch it in October, and I don't feel like you're shoving Christmas down my throat. But somebody, people have been talking about how, is that the whole point of the movie? Is the point of the movie that Christmas comes too early every year?
It could be. You could make that argument.
Yeah.
I mean, the superstores or the shopping center starts putting out their Christmas stuff on Halloween night.
Exactly, yes.
Or even before. I remember, I think it was a dollar store I went to, had Christmas stuff. It was before October, I think, actually.
Ouch.
It was wrong.
I know in Canada, we do tend to be a little lucky. I think is in the States, it's Halloween's over, bang, it's time for Christmas. And maybe you'll get lucky if they put it like a Thanksgiving display. But in Canada, we tend to be a little lucky that around Halloween is when all the poppies start coming out, and you've got like 11 days of respite till November 11th of all the Remembrance Day stuff, and then bam, Christmas. Haha, November 12th.
Yeah. It's kind of become the unspoken rule. You don't put up your Christmas decorations until after Remembrance Day around here.
Which
is something we adhere to here.
I tend to limit all of my listening to Christmas music, watching movies, all that stuff until the beginning of December. And then, and even so far, I haven't even really indulged yet. I played some music. That's about it. I haven't dug out any of these movies yet to go after. Now, I don't know what qualifies me in a way. I don't know. I was raised Catholic. I'm kind of an atheist now, but I still enjoy the season, and I still enjoy a lot of the stuff around the season. That's what I pull out of these movies for the most part. I still acknowledge that there are Christmas parties and that sort of thing with people that are of all kinds of faiths, and it's about the celebration, not the worship to me. So mm-hmm. I kind of pull in those ones. For that, I want to, because we are talking about movies, I do want to kind of plug a few more here. And this is the version of Elf Before Elf that I go to. That's not an Elf movie. But it is a hilarious and silly Christmas movie. That's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Yes. Christmas with the Griswolds. It is one of the most disturbing Christmases. It's funny because a lot of these movies depict sort of American versions of Christmas, which have never been my experience. I have a very small family, so it's always a very small gathering, as opposed to, oh, it's the gathering just after Thanksgiving, which is the sort of the American version of it. And then the idea of the relatives all coming over and colliding at Christmas time is kind of it is kind of amazing to me, which is why I still watch that movie and kind of in wonder, as well as cringing at the same time. Although I really want that light display.
Well, it is quite impressive.
And that's the thing, that movie has reached such trope status that, you know, the Griswolds light display where the town power plant has to flip on a secondary reactor to keep the lights on. And the hydrometer outside the house just whirling around. It's turned into a thing. Every year there's always one dork in every town who tries to remake it. And it's you always hear the story on the news, like the guy who's like spending like $100 a night keeping his lights on.
Well, cool. Thanks.
Awesome. More power to you. Keep it coming.
Quite literally, more power to you. The invention of LED bulbs has made this much more interesting. And then, of course, the light controllers. Of course, Wizard in Winter was the first of the major songs to be synchronized with lights that everybody got to know. That's the really rocking out, I think it's Mannheim Steamroller song. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that also got backdated to October now. I've seen light displays for October, but there's an entire neighborhoods here which light up, notably in St. Mary's, I believe, and the First Nations goes crazy.
Light controller things you can buy them as a kit now.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, people used to build them themselves, and now you can buy one from.
Back in the day, it was a science you had to build yourself with your own hands, but now you just go down to Walmart and pick one up.
So another movie that's kind of in that vein, and I think this is a movie that we were kind of inundated with as kids, and looking back at it with 21st century eyes and where we've evolved to, it's not as good as we remember it, but A Christmas Story. And it's one of those things. I mean, the Hallmark has the keepsake ornament of the leg lamp and all of these other things. And it is one of those things that was constantly on TV, but I don't know. Has anyone watched it recently?
Which one?
It's A Christmas Story. You haven't seen it.
No, never heard of it.
It's What was it about? It's about a boy who wants a red rocket BB gun for Christmas. And it features a narrator of the boy as a man, talking about how he used to really want this, but his parents wouldn't get it.
You'll shoot your eye out! You'll shoot your eye out!
The leg lamp was another feature that was an award given to his father. For being a smart man, I remember a quote from it yesterday. They're actually doing the musical version of A Christmas Story played here. I think it's actually finishing tonight, and it would be weird. It's funny because the last episode I did of The Weird Show, I actually do quote clips at the end, and I pulled out the whole thing about Triple Dog Dare You, which comes from that as well. The memorable scene is when he gets dared to stick his tongue to a pole, and it freezes there, and the special effects they used for the pulling of the tongue was pretty dramatic, or traumatic.
Yeah, it's very painful to watch. The thing is, throughout the film, every time he says this is what he wants a BB gun, everyone says, you'll shoot your eye out, you'll shoot your eye out. And when he gets one, he does. Mm. It's horrible.
That's also a movie which substitutes swear words. Fudge, and there's a very notable scene where he accidentally says it in front of his parents, and I flashed to that scene when I accidentally swore in front of my mother the first time.
Whoops.
It was funny.
Never a good thing. For me, I look back at it now, and the kid is just picked on by adults, by kids, by everyone. It's not really something I enjoy watching these days.
Yeah.
So,
I have one that's fairly recent.
Go ahead.
I'm going to see if I can put up a picture here from my phone. See that? Mark knows that one. Grumpy Cat had its own Christmas movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
2013?
I don't know why that happened. 2012? That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it was... What's that? It was horrible. I mean, beyond horrible. They had that girl from Parks and Recreation, her last name is Plaza. I forget what her first name is. She plays that very kind of monotone, depressed girl. I don't know if you have ever seen Parks and Rec.
But I'm pretty sure I know which one you mean, yeah.
Yeah, she kind of has this very monotone character in Parks and Rec, which would actually fit quite well with Grumpy Cat, only she doesn't use it at all, and she sounds like she's a person who's never acted before, reading lines, and they're taking the first take every single time. It was an absolutely horrible movie. Shouldn't happen. It was a clear cash-in on a popular trend at the time, but it was very bad.
See, that's what you're going to have to bring up when we go over the worst. There's a couple more that I want to hit that I'm going to put in with the best that I didn't really think about until I started just Googling stuff. But one that I grew up watching all year round, anytime I visited my dad at work, because he only had two movies, one of which is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
Okay.
It's John Candy and Steve Martin, and they're trying to get home for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hysterical, and I really, really love it. And where was the other one? Oh, and I mean, more modern one, and this is also not for children, The Ref with Dennis Leary.
I haven't seen that one.
No, I haven't seen it.
What? It is fantastic. Nope. He's on the run. He's a criminal. He's on the run, and he ends up kidnapping this couple on Christmas Eve. But they've got all these people coming over, so he's like, he unties them, and he's like, all right, we'll just do your family thing. But remember, I still have a gun, and I can shoot you and do all these horrible things. And as it goes on, like all of the crazy family dramas that happen, he's sitting here going, I'm the one with the gun. You people are insane. What is wrong with you? And it's just really, it's a lot of fun. And I highly recommend you guys watch it. It's great.
Right. I'm going to write that down in my notes here.
Is there any other, like, not for kids, but really fun for adult movies to watch? Die Hard would be included in this, by the way.
Black Christmas?
Not the Mr. Falcon version.
Yes, not the Mr. Falcon version.
The original version of Black Christmas.
Oh, okay.
That is a horror film.
I've heard about this one, but I've never seen it.
It features Margot Kidder as one of the recognizable faces in the film. It is the movie which originated the idea of the killer is in the house. That's very clear from the very beginning of the film, so that's not a spoiler. It's kind of a bottle movie. It all takes place within the house, but it is very, very creepy. And there's a sort of slow deaths of everyone as the killer slowly makes their way through. The remake that they did was not nearly so scary. And I actually watched the two of them back to back. It was a challenge we did one night. And but go see the original Black Christmas if you or get it. You can't really see it in theater. If you're looking for that sort of thriller. It's got Christmas in the name. It's one of the ones that kind of transcends sort of the rule. It's got Christmas in the name. It's not about the holiday, but they are gathering. And one of the conceits is no one realizes at the beginning that some people are missing and dead because they thought they just left with their parents or left to go home for the holidays.
Right. Hmm. So one thing, just quick on Black Christmas. This is what influenced Scream, right?
It influenced a lot of movies. It's
phone call.
Way
kind
back.
Of eczema. Beginning and,
yeah.
And the other thing is, NCAF, can you explain to us, for the listeners at home, the rule about having Christmas in the title?
The rule?
You just said it's one of the things that breaks the rule.
We were saying, like, the movies that have Christmas, but that Christmas isn't the focus. But this one puts it right in the title, and it kind of makes it part of the consciousness going into the film. It's all about, you know, what's happening at Christmas time. So I kind of allow it in there, even though you could take Christmas out of it, and you could have made Thanksgiving for the Americans, although it's actually one of the premier Canadian films. You could have made it about any other time of the year, although winter plays into it because people want to stay inside, that sort of thing. So that's when I say breaking the rule, it's kind of a loose rule, I suppose.
Oh, okay. I have heard people say that if Christmas is in the title, it's a bad movie, except for Christmas Carol.
No. I will diffuse that with White Christmas, one of the classic Christmas films.
Oh, yes. Oh, good old Bing.
This introduced some of the most classic Christmas carols of the modern day that we've ever heard.
And really, has anyone topped it? Like that music?
Well, I've got a whole bunch of Cthulhu Christmas carols that I feel kind of do some of that, although they're based on the originals. There aren't a lot of modern Christmas carols, I suppose. We're kind of out of that habit now.
There's that one Mariah Carey one that they won't stop playing, but other than that.
Yeah. Also, A Christmas Story, Nightmare Before Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I don't know if I really follow that Christmas Vacation. I mean, I'm looking at my list here going, yeah, I think that's not exactly a rule.
No, you're right. I've seen the rule, and you are absolutely right.
One movie we haven't mentioned. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, well, I was going to, we're along the vein of grown-up movies. I had two that one is definitely a Christmas movie, but the second one, I don't know if you would consider a Christmas movie or not. The first one I haven't seen, but somebody had recommended that I go see it, called Bad Santa.
No, yes.
Yeah, I've not seen that one. I don't know if I want to.
It's a Billy Bob Thornton. He's a big old drunk Santa. It's funny. It's amusing. I wouldn't watch it more than once. Definitely doesn't get you in the mood. It's an anti-Christmas, I'd say.
Isn't there a second one?
I'm not watching it merely because of the main actor.
Is it closer to reality than we thought for his character? Is that the problem?
Yeah, pretty much. Bad Santa may be too close to the actual actor. He may not be acting.
Isn't there a Bad Santa 2, though?
Yep.
I thought for some reason I'd heard that.
Yeah, and there's a bad teacher and there's a bad everything. the other one that I'm wondering, I don't think people really consider this a Christmas movie, but when you think of it, it really could be The Life of Brian.
Well, you know, it does have Christmas in it, like the original Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
In a roundabout way, I think that would be perhaps the most fantastic way to start a Christmas tradition. Christmas, kind of.
I wish I had the sound clip prepared, and I would totally drop in, you know, his mother.
But it's got every
thanks for coming. You can always come back with more gold. You can leave the frankincense and myrrh, but, you know, the gold's good.
It's always got, you know, it's got everything that you need. It's got great music that everybody knows.
Yep.
It's got a touching story. It's got a little bit of comedy. It's timely to the season, sort of. And it has a transcended time in that it's been, you know, 40, 50 years and we're still watching it and laughing, so...
Now, it's a great movie.
A movie that I watched as a kid, but I think a lot of people would have a second thought about showing it to the kids today, a Christmas movie, sort of, is Gremlins.
Yes.
I was just going to mention that.
Yes.
Because it's a lot more violent than most people consider a Christmas or a children's movie today.
Yeah, but it's all against puppets, so it's okay.
Oh, okay. Fine. That's, puppet, that's
it kind of falls in... It kind of falls in the same vein as Die Hard, though. It's a bunch of crazy stuff happening, but it just happens to happen around Christmas.
Well, it is a Christmas gift that is actually causing all the problem, because
and the Die Hard premise was him coming home for Christmas, I believe, is how that all got started too. So, I mean, just a very small little bit of.
I think it's closer to Christmas than Die Hard is, though.
Yeah, I'm thinking it could have existed. The whole story and plot line could have existed outside of a Christmas theme. Yeah.
It's in my secondary list along with Die Hard and Ghostbusters as whether I would consider them to be Christmas movies.
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, well, it's Christmas.
It's Christmas
too.
I suppose.
We all have the same reaction.
So can we start talking about the crap?
Well, before
we get to the crap, I have a bridge movie that is going to transcend because it is both the best and the worst.
Well, I have
a holiday movie.
I have a really good one before
Santa
that.
Claus.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good one. Go ahead.
It's a Wonderful Life hasn't been mentioned.
Oh, of course.
And I have to mention this one. Classic movie. This is Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
And it's one of those ones that we were talking earlier about what's in a Christmas movie. And it's like, well, there is technically a mention of God and angels, but at the beginning you have the stars talking to each other. So I always consider it a Cthulhu movie now. About the elder ones that are trying to dictate and influence human life through this cult of Christmas. But it's another wonderful transformation movie as well. So I have to mention that one. But yes, the Santa Claus, oh God.
Oh, but before we move on to the Santa Claus now, that you brought It's a Wonderful Life up, which is a great movie. It is also included in one of those, it's not really a Christmas movie, but it keeps showing up on these Christmas movie lists, and that's Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, I saw that today.
It's Fletcher Christmas, you know? But yes, Bad Santa, I think, is actually quite a good movie. It gets a lot of bad press, probably because of the sequels, and also because it's kind of hokey. But I really like it, but it's also kind of bad. You know, it's good, it's bad, and it had Mr. Universe in it as an elf. Thoughts?
Which movie?
The Santa Claus.
Okay. That's not what you said.
Yeah, I think you said Bad Santa.
Bad Santa.
Okay, I'm not going insane. That wasn't just me.
I totally meant the Santa Claus. Bad Santa, we said we didn't want to watch it.
Yeah, no, Tim Allen.
Santa Claus, you know, I'm going to go back to something that NCAF said at the beginning. You know, I saw it once. Yeah. I liked it once. I'm probably never going to see it.
Agreed.
But I think our viewers should start a new tradition for Christmas and start watching Life of Brian. I think that should be a new Christmas thing.
So let's dish on the worst holiday movies.
Okay, I'll start here.
Go ahead.
Okay, so worst. There's an entire genre that I want to shout out here as horrible, and that's the ones that came out in the late 90s to early 2000s that starred one popular comedian and or action star, threw him into a Christmas type scenario, goofy antics follow. Your whole family has to go watch this movie right now. It's awesome because it's got this big star in it and 37 B-listers you've never heard of. There's a bunch of examples, the Santa Claus being one of them. Hello, Tim Allen vehicle. But which one am I going to pick on as the absolute worst of them all?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold, I knew it.
All the way. Where he has to find this one particular action figure toy for his son, and it's him in a fight at a shopping mall the whole time trying to get this toy. And it was even if you want to just harken back to his days in crappy action movies, it's a crappy movie. I'd rather watch Last Action Hero again than watch Jingle All the Way, if that tells you anything.
Ooh.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to say anything that is with a dog. So if it's Air Bud's Christmas or By the way, rest in peace, Tinkerbell, but Tinkerbell's Christmas, that's Paris Hilton's dog, or a Chihuahua movie Christmas, or any of those
Any of those idiot movies where they just tack Christmas onto it and make a sequel to sell some DVDs.
But if a talking dog is the main character, I mean, unless that dog's name is Pluto, because Mickey's Christmas is pretty cool. You've got Chip and Dale hanging out in the Christmas tree. That's pretty cool. But, I mean, unless extenuating circumstances, the dog shouldn't talk.
Snoopy gets a pass, too.
Yeah, Snoopy gets... Although
I don't think he ever spoke, so...
So all of those... Many of the ones with Adam Sandler or Jim Carrey or, you know, any of those things, I will agree with Tech that it's best.
Cash-in movies. There seems to be a horrible epidemic of cash-in movies or cash cow movies or however you want to label them. But they typically come up around Christmas. Sometimes they're direct to television or whatever, but they just want to, you know, capture the audience who's hungry for Christmas, I guess.
Yeah. And I got one also that is a 0% on Rotten Tomatoes. Ooh. And that's Beauty and the Beast's Enchanted Christmas.
Ouch.
It was horrible. I actually watched it, by the way. And I had to watch the whole thing. It was
with a niece?
Yes, with a niece.
Oh, there you go.
With a niece who is now 21, so still seared in my brain.
There's a movie that was so bad that it almost did the whole – it almost did The Room. It almost kind of came right back around and became entertaining in its own way. And that was a movie called Jack Frost.
Yeah, oh my God.
Okay, which one? Which one?
With Michael Keaton.
Okay, because there's a horror movie called Jack Frost.
Yes, there's two different ones.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess either one of them would apply in this case, because I was actually talking about not the Michael Keaton one, but the horrible horror movie one.
See, I love that movie because it is so bad.
Exactly. It came all the way around to being good again somehow. And they made a second one, too, but I think the second one was just plain terrible.
The second one is set on a tropical island. So you have a fellow who, through whatever, you know, spooky chemical science means, it's a convicted killer, I believe, like a really nasty guy who gets transformed into a snowman beast. And then I think in the second one, I think there's a snowball that survived, and he has little miniature versions of himself that can send out as minions. Yeah, I think transcendent is a good way to put it. I was trying to think of bad horror or bad Christmas movies, and all I kept coming back to are the ones that I really enjoyed, even though they're terrible. And this is totally
like
on my
bad
list.
Movies. Tech, you've got your hand raised.
I do have my hand raised off camera here, but the absolute worst. And so we talked about Christmas movies. Let's not forget Christmas specials and how they could have their own special brand of awful. But the Star Wars Christmas special needs to be mentioned. I don't know, any movie that involves B. Arthur pouring a drink into the top of a man's head while a holographic Wookiee dances around. This is the worst thing ever put... There's a reason it only ever aired once.
And I believe they're actively trying to destroy every copy of it.
Are you kidding? This thing airs all the time. Every geek drags this movie out and watches it or subjects their friends to it. It will be...
Do you know what? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Mark, we have to sit down with you at some point.
It's like an intervention. We need you to watch this crap for 90 minutes.
It's kind of like when someone says you have to watch The Room.
It's a cultural touchstone. That doesn't mean it's good. It just means you should know.
Just how much George Lucas was willing to do for a paycheck that he was willing to sign off on this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Artistic integrity? Nope. Here's a sack with a dollar sign on it, George. Oh, thank you very much. Do whatever you want. Get B. Arthur.
I'm going to have to download this and watch it at some point.
It's on YouTube, I think, or people keep trying to take it down or scrub their eyes.
I'm sure it can get easily torrented or YouTubed, probably.
You can't buy it, so yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the more awful ones that really stick in your mind, you know, that you haven't been able to escape?
There was one in the late 90s. It starred, because you mentioned Tim Allen before, but one of his one of the three boys there, the middle one, the one who did the voice in The Lion King.
Coming Home for Christmas?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a JTT. Jonathan Taylor Thomas venue.
The one.
Yeah. He was doing all the movies.
Yeah, he was doing any movie that any script they would put in front of him, he would jump on. He just wanted to be a star. Whatever happened to him?
He was the it boy. He was all over Teen Bop. I mean, he was the male Olsen twins, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, all of their movies. Out the window. Out the window.
Olsen twins? Yeah, I have not seen any of their movies.
Christmas movies. No.
I don't remember anything about that movie, the Jonathan Taylor Thomas movie, I'll Be Home for Christmas. I just remember I saw it. I hated it. I believe I saw it in the theater. What's that? My wife is saying she loved it. It's just because it had Jonathan Taylor Thomas in it. But
that shows her age.
Yeah. I saw it in the theaters, I do recall. And I remember walking out thinking it was one of the first because when I was young, we had one theater in town. It had the biggest screen on the East Coast, I believe, at the time.
Luxury. And, you had a theater in town?
And, yeah, that's true. One theater. It had one theater, and it had one play for 1 week, and then it would rotate to the next movie. So whenever we had money to go see a movie, it was a really, really big deal. So I think that was one of the first movies that basically kind of broke my faith in going to the theater, because it was usually just, you know, you had money, you went to the theater, whatever was playing, you were entertained for an hour. And since it was only one movie a week, right, they cherry picked it, always the best movie playing there. This one here was one of the first movies that seriously let me down. I walked out of the theater feeling like I just wasted my money.
And you did.
I did, yeah. I don't remember anything about it.
And that was in the 90s, you say? You could have gone instead to see something, a wonderful masterpiece of Santa with Muscles with Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God, really?
As bad as you think it is.
I mean, the title is pretty horrible. I've never seen that or even heard about it or even knew it existed until just now.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. Oh, God.
Ho, ho, ho!
Or, you know, Ernest Saves Christmas.
Oh, I remember that.
I skipped that entirely.
Oh, I mean, I was an Ernest fan growing up. And I was young. Ernest Goes to Jail, Ernest Saves Christmas.
You were the one.
Ernest movies, they were all the same movie. Saw one, you saw them all.
You were the one keeping that franchise alive.
Yeah, I used to love it.
So, as we said, the Peanuts special, Christmas special, was wonderful. It's Christmas time again, Charlie Brown. Which was one that they made in 92, which I think is after Charles Schulz passed away, is not a good Christmas movie.
I take it Vince Guaraldi didn't do the music for that one?
Probably not. I can look it up, though. I have such a love-hate thing with Peanuts, because anything after Charles Schulz passing away is garbage. And it used to be such a thing that I loved.
Isn't there a new one either in theaters now or coming soon?
It's CGI.
Well, hold on. It's CG, yes. But from what I understand, and I haven't seen this movie yet, but I've read a lot of critic reviews on it. And they have Schulz written in the corner of the screen or something like that, or they have it in the credits. And that's because it was his family or whoever's left of his family.
Doing it now, and it just says Schulz, not Charles Schulz.
Yeah. So what they did is they kind of fused the CG with some of the artistic stylings, some of the like the flat drawn artistic stylings. And from what I understand, from what the critics are saying, it didn't turn out that bad. It actually kind of shows, you know, a progression. They're never gonna be able to do his artistic styling again. I mean, he's gone. Let's face the facts. So why not try to do something a little bit more new, but with a really good nod to the traditional? And from what I understand, from what the critics are saying, they might have actually pulled it off. It's not terrible, but it's also a little more happy feeling than the traditional Peanuts. You know,
I won't see it because I've read the comic strips done by his son, and I don't like them.
Oh,
I don't
really?
Like them at all. I read it and go, that's a comic strip? Was that a joke? I'm not sure I get it. It's really bad, and it makes me angry.
Hmm.
And yes, NCAF, it was not the same guy doing the compositions. It was a guy, David Benoit, and I'm sure he's a perfectly fine person, but he's done all of the more recent Peanuts things, and he's known for his music on All My Children, so...
What probably happened is what happens to a lot of those sort of the second wave of composers on a popular product is they're given the original music and said, make it sound like this and make sure you have this and this and this from the original, but yep. make it sound new and original. And yeah, I pity them because they're in a rough position. I'm going to throw in my own bad movie. Again, I love bad horror movies. So the entire Silent Night, Deadly Night series, there are five movies in this series. If you want it, there are five movies in total. Only, I think, three of them feature the same character. They just went, I think it was the third one, they kind of went entirely somewhere else, and then they came back to, anyway, I forget. It's been a while since I watched them. One year, Bunny and I, we watched a lot of horror movies, and we did a whole month of horror movies. We watched all five of these, I believe, and they are about a psychopathic axe murderer who is played by a person who doesn't know what acting is. And it is unintentionally horrifically funny, but more just horrific. And I kind of enjoyed them because of that. But yes, they qualify because he dresses up as a Santa suit most of the time. And of course, Silent Night, Deadly Night is a real reference to Silent Night. Of course, the classic carol, but that has nothing at all to do with the movie, as far as I recall. Like, never referenced, never any reason that it would be mentioned at all, other than it's a kind of clever pun.
You know, we've gone over to the bad Christmas movies, and I don't want at risk of messing with the show's structure here. The
timeline is never, sacred, Mark. You can't mess with the timeline.
I'm not doing the editing.
Paradox.
So do that. We never mentioned any of the Doctor Who specials.
Oh.
Oh yeah. And that's a tradition.
Well, we didn't mention any television episodes either. Like a lot of television shows when we were all kids. Had Christmas episodes or Christmas specials. I think that's probably why we ended up leaving it out.
Special episode.
Yes. but yeah, well, Doctor Who is close to my heart, so I'm looking forward to the next one. They actually did the Scrooge story at 1 year, and Snowmen, and Santa.
The one with the flying sharks, I think, was another one that was a...
Yes.
Flying sharks in a Christmas
video. That was a whole Christmas Carol thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. So before we sign out, apparently we've actually had people commenting on the event page, not in the Q&A, so I didn't see it as it was coming up.
There are other people here? Now I feel self-conscious.
Yeah, there are other people here.
Where do I see these comments?
It's on the event page. Don't worry, I'll read them.
Hello, people.
I got a these are all from Martin Foster. It's Lethal Weapon was a Christmas movie as well, question mark.
We had that one, didn't
we? Christmas Star was something I remember seeing as a child, apparently very rare and Canadian. Do you guys know George and the Christmas Star?
No.
Now I want to add the raccoons in there, though.
A lot of these titles, though, escape me. If I saw a screenshot of or something, I'd probably recognize it from TV.
Yes. The Star Wars Holiday Special, they tried to bury it, and South Park has done a couple, which is true. They've done a couple of different...
Santa versus Jesus, a lot of that story.
Santa versus the Martians.
That one was fantastic. It's like a whole Black Hawk Down thing where Jesus had to go rescue Santa.
Yeah, yeah. And there's the Merry Effing Christmas. Merry Falcon Christmas?
Yeah. Oh, I have the it's a good soundtrack. Now we're going to come to the new Star Wars film, I guess, as a Christmas film, right?
No. That's Star Wars. Star Wars is its own thing.
There'll be somebody with a jolly hat, and there'll be lights that are blinking, and maybe a tree.
Anyway,
somebody would be worn.
Says he always watches from the Gatecast. By the way, I always watch The Bishop's Wife, Cary Grant, and for a more modern flick, Bad Santa. Of course, the classic Die Hard is my Christmas must-watch, and not forgetting The Muppets Christmas Carol. I think we've hit almost all of these except for The Bishop's Wife. That's a very old one. I also have a fondness for the more schmaltzy Hallmark Christmas movies. Capture the spirit, if not the reality of the season. I do remember growing up and watching all of those little you know, the Hallmark movies and the Disney Christmas special, whatever it was always there.
There's an entire Christmas specials wiki I just stumbled across. Oh, my.
Well, you stumbled too late.
Oh, my.
Harold Whalen says he picks The Shop Around the Corner as the best. Santa Claus Conquers the Martians as the worst. I don't think I've watched The Shop Around the Corner, but I've heard about Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, and it's supposed to be really, really bad. Paul Ellis says, at our house, the Christmas season begins by watching the ultimate holiday movies, Die Hard and Die Hard 2. We're sentimental like that. Now I'm wondering if Paul is going to add Life of Brian to that list there. And then we have from the Mixed Nutcase group on Facebook, here we go. Let the debate about Die Hard commence. Yeah, we did that. Black Christmas was mentioned by Bill Horsecotter from Literary Wasteland. That's the name of his new podcast. Gremlins from Heidi Jenkins. But seriously, Christmas Vacation. Davia says, best, A Christmas Carol starring Alistair Sims. Which one's that?
It's the very classic one.
That's the original. Yep. Yes, yes. That's
my
right.
favorite.
There's so many of them, I get confused, you know? Kinsey Schwartz says Santa Slay. Oh, no. Well, maybe he suggested that as the worst. We've got Bill Horst again talking about Scrooged. And, Aaron Jackson, watching live now, not fans of the Santa Claus? I am now saddened. No, we said the Santa Claus is a good movie that gets a bad rap. Now, the sequels are pretty terrible.
And
we don't need to watch it more than once.
So many more movies. There was a Dudley Moore elf movie. There was,
yes.
Oh,
Dudley Moore should not be an elf. He's already an elf. You know, you got to get away from that stereotype.
And of course, all the made-for-TV Lifetime movies.
Lifetime movies in general.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're all in the same plot.
Actually, you know what? Grumpy Cat was a Lifetime movie. There you go.
And ABC Family, I'm sure, has tons of them and so forth. Yes?
I got to bring up another good one that I remember. All right. Another TV special.
And on a high note.
And on a high note. And I'm going to mention yet again my favorite acting dynasty, the Muppets. But the Muppets Christmas special, where they're all up at the cottage.
Yep.
And everyone keeps coming in, and there's the running gag of the icy patch by the door, so everyone who comes in falls down, and they all sing Christmas carols. I think it's Robin Sings Silent Night.
Yep.
Sort of like
he starts it. Yep.
Yeah, but it's good. It's funny. It's all the characters I grew up with. It's hokey comedy. And if I remember, I think it was that. No, Jim is in that one because he's in the kitchen.
It's like one of the last things that he did, I believe. Yeah.
Love that one.
And Aaron Jackson found the Q&A, and he says the second Santa Claus is okay. The third was clearly a cash grab. Nope. Sorry. No sequels. No sequels, Aaron. That's my ruling. So of the Christmas of like TV shows and the specials there, I'm gonna the Buffy Christmas episode where the first is there and trying to tempt Angel to kill himself and then they get snow. I kind of love it, even though it's got that horrible trope of and now it's snowing, so we know it's the end and everybody loves each other. And, and for Doctor Who, let's not forget, Rose's mom was almost killed by a tree. That was great.
Oh, you didn't even mention Treevenge.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my.
Sorry, I think I ruined the high note we were going out on.
All right, well, each of you have a high note to end on, so go ahead.
I'm going to mention one that hasn't been mentioned yet. I'm a big fan of Batman, the original animated series. Christmas with the Joker. Awesome episode.
Yes, that was really good. That was good. I love Batman the Animated Series. And I saw a meme today, and it's Batman, and he's looking all solemn, and it says, I don't care what the song says. I don't smell. And Kaff, what are you going to end us with a high note on?
Oh, God, I think all of my favorite movies have come out already. How about I choose one that's not exactly a Christmas movie, but it is a horror movie set in snow, and that is Dead Snow. Because the rise of zombie frozen Nazis cannot be, has to be a part of my Christmas celebration now.
And there you have it. You know, that's pretty much sums up how a Nutty Bites episode is going to go. When we talk about anything, we're going to be all over the spectrum.
We start about Christmas and we end on dead Nazi zombies.
Who doesn't want to end on dead Nazi zombies? I mean, really, it's a great closer. So thank you, everyone, for joining us live. Thank you, everyone, who's listening at home. And I hope you all have very happy holidays and that you can enjoy yourself. And if you can't, throw on one of these good movies we talked about. And avoid the bad ones.
If you can't enjoy yourself, enjoy someone else.
Exactly.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Meet Tom Statford, Keeper of the Conclave.
Damn, I almost sound respectable.
Private detective to the gods.
The god of the sun, the hunt, and truth. Apollo. Shujun. Big as life and twice as badass. The Baron Samedi has dominion over life and death.
All the gods.
Lucifer, Lord of the Flies, Prince of Lies.
He's faced zombies, cultists, and assassins. He's even faced down commitment itself.
We don't even know where we're getting married, do we?
But the world has changed. The gods are trapped on Earth. Among the very humans who worship them, or don't.
Some of the cults were the fun kind.
Like Dionysus?
Or Aphrodite. Their meetings can be somewhat energetic.
Did I mention it was all the gods?
Hell, I got dating advice from Coyote yesterday.
The fun and games are over. In the latest Statford Chronicles book by John Walker, Tom Statford is...
I just wanted to let each of you know that this is your last night on Earth.
Best served cold.
This is the way it has to be.
Best Served Cold, Book 7 of the Statford Chronicles. Available December 2015. When the gods fall, who's going to pick them up?
I hope you enjoy dying by my hand.
Speaking of looking dead at Christmas,
uh-oh.
On an unrelated topic, this news story that came across the, I want to say came across the wire this morning, but it was on the internet.
Came across the wire, eh?
Yeah, newsflash.
So this guy has built this nativity scene on his front lawn, and he does it every year, but all of the characters in the nativity scene are zombies.
Nice.
And it angers his neighbors and has angered the town so much that they've levied a fine of $500 a day against him as long as he keeps it up because they say it's offensive.
And wow.
The only way that they were able to find like a legal way to make the fine stick is that the little building that the nativity scene is in, they say counts as a structure, and he didn't get a building permit for it. So he owes $500 a day until he takes the structure down.
That's truly dumb. That's just dumb.
Yeah, that is.
Are they going to everybody else's nativity scene and knocking those down too?
Yeah, I mean...
Well, and you know they're not, and that's the point, and that's why everybody's getting mad. And I mean, yeah, okay, they are scary-looking zombies, but... It's a joke. Laugh, people. It's Christmas. It's the one time of year we're not supposed to be serious.
The best one I saw the day had Star Trek characters. It had Star Wars characters. It had all kinds of little figurines as the nativity scene. It worked perfectly. Although having the three Sith as the three wise men was a little weird.
Huh. Can't have three. They always come in pairs.
Does Mary die of a broken heart when she gives birth to Jesus?
Oh.
I think it was Riker and Troy were actually standing in there.
Oh, okay.
Nutty Bites is produced at Nimlas Studios. You can find us on the web at nimlasstudios.org. This work is created under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported International License. What that means is you can share it, you can send it to your friends, you just can't make any money off of it, you can't change it, and you have to link back to me, my site, and everything. You can comment and send feedback by going to nimlas.org/nuttybites. You can go to facebook.com/group/nuttybites. You can call the comment line by going to 347-NUTTY42, or you can find me on Twitter, you can search on Google+, you can search the web, you can find me everywhere.